can still remember the smell of fresh oil from my granddaddy's duck gun. And not getting a wink of sleep, waiting for the morning to come. And then there's the time my dad and I went a line down at Lake Lake. That's where he taught me to tie this knot that I still use today. These are the memories that mean so much to me. Spending precious time outside with the love of family.
The hit was perfect. We went back out and it was.
This message will be handed down for all eternity.
Good job.
You teach your child about the wild and respect the land and sea.
There he is.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful, beautiful weekend. This is your host, Ray I. Came back with a little Legacy. Love that song. We played a little Legacy because we'll be talking to the Conservation Federation Missouri, Brandon Butler. We continue our series with the Conservation Federation Missouri's podcast, where Brandon turned the tables on me and interviewed me, and so here we go.
Well, we got to go back a little bit in history. I want to hear some early days Ray I stuff. I want to hear some Johnson Mountain stories.
Oh, my goodness.
I know some of the legends of Ray I from other people
now
told.
Now you're scaring me.
Oh, but I want to hear it from you yourself. So take me back to the early days of how this passion started for you.
Oh, wow. It's really cool. You know, I grew up in a hunting family, of course, and that's a great benefit. You know, I'm in the Ozarks and everybody hunts, and deer camp and turkey camp was a big deal. It was really a big family event. Everybody in camp was related. I'd started turkey hunting when I was like 9 years old. Of course, I couldn't even walk. My dad used to carry me piggyback in the woods with him to the duck blind and out squirrel hunting and did all those things. And I started competing in turkey calling contests when I was about 17, 18 years old. Back in the day, every community, every small town had a turkey calling contest. It was a big event.
What day are you talking about? What year are we talking?
Oh, we're talking 69, 70, 71, early days. All the way up through the early 80s, every community had a turkey calling contest. Well, I won some of those turkey calling contests, and people wanted to get some of my calls. So I started building. I was making calls for myself anyway. I knew a lot of people built calls. So I built calls, and then the guy comes over and says, hey, bring them by the store. So I take them to the store, and then he calls me up and says, hey, come here and show people how to use these. And I did that for a while, and then the Walmart in DeSoto, Missouri, called me and asked me if I could come down and do a demonstration. This was in 77, I guess it was. Walmart, the local store, picked up my turkey call line, and then it went into all the Walmarts. That time wasn't a lot of stores, but, you know, early Walmart. And so then I started going to all the Walmart stores doing demonstrations on how to use the calls. So I was doing the DeSoto, Potosi, and other Walmarts every spring, and it was, and you know, how times have changed. You know, the commercial brochure they put out had me with a turkey with an arrow in it, you know, try to put that in an advertisement today on hunting. So I did these promotions, and this gentleman come in a suit, and he wanted to talk to me. He asked me if I would consider doing a seminar for the college, and I didn't even know what a seminar was. And he said the guy that was going to do it was sick, and he couldn't do the deal. So I said, yeah. So he threw me on a stage with 350 people, and I was really like sucking wind at first, you know. And Ralphie Duren helped me put a slideshow together. I had plenty of slides because that's what we shot back in the day. So I was doing a slideshow. So I told a story, and everybody laughed. And next thing I know, every college in the state, I did continuing education. Kids got credit for it, and I did turkey calling classes all over state in the community colleges. And that's kind of how it started. Next thing I know, I'm in New York, Pennsylvania, California. I'm everywhere. And in 86, Hunter Specialties hired me, took my line of Ozark Mountain calls, and me and Tom Stuckey went nationwide 300 days a year doing promotions for Hunter Specialties. And that's kind of how it all started. It kind of started by accident, actually.
Well, that's a great story. But it really started in the heart of the Ozark Mountains.
Ozarks, yes. That's where it all started for me, hunting with my grandpa and my dad. And we hunted national forests a lot. It was, back then it was Mark Twain National Forest. I don't know, it was, can't think of what it was called. It's Mark Twain now, but it was, I hate it when I do this, but they'll know what I'm talking about.
Well, I didn't know there was another.
And Clark National Forest. We hunted that because the farm was surrounded, my grandpa's farm was surrounded by national forest. And so we always hunted the national forest through those years. And we learned a lot because when I first started hunting, you never saw another turkey hunter. And then we went through that time back in the day in the 70s, late 70s, mid to late 70s when some of the magazines, as you know, the outdoor magazines was a big deal back in those days. That's where everybody got their information. And they came down and hunted the Ozarks. In the 70s, the Ozarks was the place to go hunting turkeys because a lot of areas didn't have turkeys. A lot of states didn't have turkeys. Remember, they transplanted turkeys from the Ozarks and put them in other states. But anybody that wanted to hunt turkeys in Missouri went to the Ozarks. Well, Outdoor Life came out with an article, and it got where you couldn't park. You couldn't find a place to park. There were so many hunters in the woods to try to turkey. And they had all read this stuff where you got to run to a turkey. So you'd set up on a turkey, and all of a sudden some guy comes running by you. So it got really tough for a lot of years down there.
Well, I think the Ozarks, they're intimidating for a lot of people.
Oh, they are. I know a lot of people in North Missouri would never hunt the Ozarks.
You look at a map, and there's so much public land. But the problem is when you get down there, so much of it looks the same.
Yeah, it does all look the same.
So if somebody wanted to come down and get started hunting in the Ozarks, give me some early tips or some just how to get started hunting in the Ozarks.
Get you a good topo map. I still use paper. You know, everybody's got this stuff on their phones now. Get away from the roads. Get away from the main places. Get as far back as you can. If you can find some place where the habitat changes, there's an old homestead back in the National Forest, that's a good place. Any place where there are water riverways. I loved hunting the river hills. Oh, that's good turkey hunting. Don't go to the access points where everybody else parks and try to hunt from there. You got to get away from the roads and away from people. When we've even done media hunts on the National Forest, but I took my time and scouted it by going in and finding these old logging roads on big ridges miles away from the access. And some of these places in Missouri, you can find another way in, another road in without taking the main road in, and people don't even know it's there and have great access. The main thing is it's a lot like fishing. If you stand up on Johnson Mountain and look across all those ridges and all those big hollers and big mountains all out there, you go, where do you start? There's only certain areas that always hold turkeys. And the cool thing is if the habitat doesn't change, where I hunted 30 years ago, you can go to the same spots and find turkeys. So it's like fishing on a lake. You know how you pattern a lake and try to find a fish and you find structure and where the fish are. You do the same thing with turkeys. And there's certain areas that just doesn't hold the turkeys and other areas excellent, especially these old homesteads. It's just kind of like the whitetail. There's three or four different types of terrain to come together. You find a logging road that runs off in a big holler, and there's plenty of water nesting for the hens, you're going to find turkeys. Some of those big ridges back in the mountains, you'll find a few turkeys, but not like you will where there's good water, cover, and edge, and timber. Any big ridge in the Ozarks where three or four ridges junction together, sit down right there. That's a good spot to kill a turkey.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, there is.
I try to encourage so many people to come down to the Ozarks and experience just how incredible the entire area is. I mean, it's so vast and there's so much opportunity. I think some people are still confused by how the public land works, but in most of these areas, you can just pull off on the side of the road. And as long as it's, you know, known to be public land,
you're fine.
You don't have to check in. You don't have to have a permit. Yeah. You don't have to, you know, do anything special. As long as you're a licensed hunter and legal in your methods, you just park your car and go.
And one of the things that I want to say, I said earlier about in the early days when the magazines was out and was so many people, I don't find it anymore. We've done several media hunts in the Ozarks in the last 10 years. We don't see another hunter when we get away from the roads and get in those public areas, especially during the week. A lot of those areas are empty. You go in, there's nobody there. And we kill a lot of turkeys in the public areas and save the private areas for later in the season.
Have you ever done a float camp?
Oh, yes. Love the float turkey hunt. I've done it with Billy Smith several times. I had a media hunt on the river where we did the boats. And I've done it both in boat, canoe, in a small area on the Piney, and then we did, like a John boat. But the fun one was the boats with Billy Smith, the big boat where you could pack the lunch, pack all the stuff for your tables and everything. And you got a boat where you can cover a lot of ground, but then you shut it off and you float and you call. Mm-hmm. And you make them gobble, you take the beach, and you go in. And that really works well because then you find mushrooms. And you find turkeys, and you can do a little fishing.
And Billy Smith, he's guiding now.
He's got a service down there, and man, what a great guy it is. Good guy to go with.
What's it called?
I can't remember what it's called right now. Here we go.
But Billy Smith out of Summersville.
We're a turkey camp. I'm not supposed to remember anything. We're
trying
tired.
To give you a shout-out, Billy.
Yeah, Billy does a great job. But I think it's Scenic River Tours or something like that. Yeah, I believe it is.
But he's out of Summersville.
Yeah, out of Summersville is where he's at now. Boy, he knows the river. That's one thing that I really enjoy. Going with Billy when I don't have a lot of people with me is that he knows that area. He tells you what's in this holler and that what building used to be here and what's here, and he can take you. But he knows the structure. He knows the fish. That boy can catch smallmouth, goggle. He knows how to do it.
Well, that's what's special about so many of those people down there that have spent their whole lives. It's like they're part of that landscape.
They are part of that landscape.
You know, it's generational. Their roots run deep. And somehow it's almost like a monarch butterfly.
Yeah.
That knowledge is passed on telepathically from generation to generation.
Well, just think about this. We're in a boat and you're floating. And I had the girls. I had Linda Powell from Mossberg. And I had Melanie from the Turkey Federation. And these different gals from different magazines. And we're in this boat. And they've never been on the current river. And we're floating the current river at daylight with the mist coming off the mountain and the fog on the river, and they're hearing the wild turkey gobble. If you hear a wild turkey in the Ozarks gobble on the riverways, there's nothing like it. And then they got to see the wild horses, hear turkeys, float the river, see country they've never seen. And they told me that was their all-time favorite hunt of any place they've ever been. And I always tell everybody, I said, you know, I've been really, really fortunate that I do this for a living. It's hard to believe. I've hunted 42 states and Campeche, Mexico, and Old Mexico, and every place else. But to me, to this day, there's still nothing like an Ozark gobbler at daylight on a big side of a mountain someplace in the riverways.
Thanks for joining us for Eye on the Outdoors, award-winning radio show.
Brought to you by Midwest Outdoors Magazine and Television, helping you enjoy the outdoors since 1967. Mossberg Quality Firearms, built rugged, proudly American. Indian Creek Shooting Systems, quality waterfowl and turkey choke tubes.
Dove Creek Wagyu Cattle Company, home of the best damn beef jerky. Go to DoveCreekWagyu.com.
Thomas Coffee, the official coffee for Eye in the Outdoors. CFM, Conservation Federation of Missouri, at confedmo.org.
Z-Max, micro-lubricant for guns. Z-Max, made in America. RTP Outdoors, rtpoutdoors.com.
Thanks for joining us, and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
Still today, but there ain't no doubt I love this land.